So, we are coming to the end of, in the church calendars, the Easter season. All right, we, if you're following along in the church calendar, they just had the Ascension, and now we're in between the Ascension and Pentecost. Next Sunday will be Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit. And so, that's what's happening. And so, now today's readings are interesting. We're moving along and seeing a lot of similar themes of unity, of abiding, these kinds of things. And then today, well, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about something and it struck me. I just recently read a news article about this thing that Americans spend billions of dollars on. I mean, multi-billions of dollars are spent by American men and women on, in some ways, trying to stop time, right? That is a big industry in this world, trying to stop the effects of time, be it cosmetics or plastic surgeries or Botox or keep fit videos or health supplements, all these things, billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars poured into these efforts. Keep our hair going where we want it to. Stop our hair from going where we don't want it to. All these things going on. And at the root of it, I think, is a very basic thing. We fear death. We fear death. Yeah, we do. I mean, I don't want to die. You know, if you know, I'm out in the middle of a jungle and a tiger comes at me, yeah, I'm scared. Why? I don't want to die. Right? It's normal. It's fine. All right? But there is something else there. That this fear of death is not just the stopping of our existence, although that's part of it. You know, you wonder, I only have so much time. What am I doing with that time? What can I get done? You know, what will be left when I'm gone? Those kinds of questions. There's also the deeper questions of, does something happen afterward? Is there more? And for a lot of people, there's that little nagging thought that, you know what? Maybe there is. Maybe there is. Now, the great thing, well, no, I'm not going to say that, I'm sorry. This fear of death, you know, either can point to someone towards just meaninglessness. You know, what's the point of anything? Or may turn their thoughts again to what happens after, particularly maybe, is there a hell? Am I going to, you know, be tortured, tormented my whole life by doing things? You know, this does give the an evangelist some leverage. And I've seen it, right? You can leverage that. Fear makes a good lever. Not a long-term or nice lever. But hey, you can scare heaven into a lot of people if you want to. But is that what it's about? I don't think so. You know, the Bible does not focus a lot on, I mean, it mentions, okay, don't, I'm not, but it doesn't, its main focus is not on avoiding death as so much as to embracing life, particularly embracing God, knowing God. The problem, yes, is death because we've been separated from God. And so the solution is to be made right with God and for Jesus to fill that gap and all the good news of the gospel. Embracing life with God, restoration, prosperity, those kind of things. Psalm 1 told us that. Blessed is the man. He's like a tree by waters. You know, a picture of a tree that's right next to the bank of the river that will never, never not need water. You know, those are the trees that are always healthy. They're always going. They're going to prosper. Their leaves are going to flourish. They're going to give fruit. They're going to do all those things. That's the picture. And that's what God has pointed out. That's what our soul longs for. In the reading in 1 John, John tells us, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. This is eternal life. We're looking for that life that's forever. And he writes these things so that we may know this. And that's really important. We can know this. there's off with people a sense of doubt. How do I really know? Really, really? But you can. I believe it. I do. Now, the question you have to ask, I think, and it's a really important one. When does eternal life start? Do you live out this life, die, and then you start your eternal life? No. That's not it. See, your eternal life starts now. That if we look at the gospel, if you believe in Jesus, you've pledged your allegiance to Him, you're following Him, you've asked forgiveness, and He's given it, and you're restored to God and all those things, you have begun your eternal life. Just like when Jesus says, the kingdom of God is here, right? It's broke through, it's not complete. Your eternal life starts now. It starts now. So, what do we do with this eternal life? How does it affect us? If eternal life is a present reality, how do we use it? How do we maintain it? How do we persevere in it? Well, I think the answer is a couple reasons that we're seeing in our readings. One, looking to Pentecost, the Spirit. And we'll talk about that more and more. We'll talk about more next week. But the Spirit enables and inflames and encourages that eternal perspective in us. And here's the other thing, folks. You want to know how eternal life is lived out and how it's maintained and how we know that it's true and will carry us through? Jesus is praying for that for us. Jesus is praying that very thing for us. You know, in Romans 8, you know, mentions how, you know, we often, you know, the Spirit prays with us in groanings too deep for words, and the Spirit's always interceding for us. That's the picture here of when Jesus does this prayer. He's praying. Now, again, I've said this before, but when I pray, you know, I understand and that I'm fallible, I'm imperfect, I have sin in my life, you know, that there's things that can get me murky and messed up in my prayers, and, you know, maybe I'm not praying, you know, maybe I'm praying selfishly, or, you know, all kinds of things can happen when I'm praying, right? Okay. If Jesus is praying, you gotta think, that's a good one, right? You gotta think that you know, in that union of Father and Son, that Jesus is praying something that's something the Father's going to listen to and will happen. And so that's what we want to understand from this prayer that Jesus gave. It's just part of it. And this is part that regard his disciples. But first, this prayer is one of revealing. Right? He says that those who are mine, right? That God, there's this aspect of God's initiative in this relationship. A necessary initiative. That without Him, we are incapable of making the move towards Him. We are capable of reaching out. You know, we're dead. That's what Ephesians tells us. We are dead in our sins and transgressions. What can a dead person do to help themselves? Nothing. That's the thing. So there's that picture of initiative of God's sight and God's end of going towards us. And then, in the mystery of God, there is the part of, I believe, I accept. In verse 8, for I gave them your words, you gave me, and they accepted them. There's something we do in there. We hear them, we accept them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, so they believed you. So you accept it, you know with certainty, and you believe. And somehow all it works out. But that is what comes in. This prayer of helping us in this eternal life is first a revealing of the Father and Him making the move towards us. Seeing in Jesus the Father, recognizing the power of Jesus' words in revealing God to us. That when we read these words of God, we are understanding who God is. We accept and we know and we believe. Now, secondly, Jesus prays for our protection. That's wonderful. Jesus is leaving. You know, up to the point, he says, I was with you, and so you're protected. From what? Well, spiritual forces, I believe, is part of what somebody's talking about. He was also there in his protection to shield his disciples from Roman authorities, those kind of things. But so Jesus is now praying for their protection. And in that protection, he's praying so that they would be unified, that there's a unity that happens. And I think we can surmise from that some of that protection that we have from this world comes from our being together. Unity gives us protection, helps. We're together. And that's important. A community of faith is essential in this. There is an aspect of joy in verses 12 and 13 of John 17. Jesus says, while I was with them, I protected them, kept them safe. We mentioned that. None was lost. I'm coming to you now. But by these, I say these while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. The full measure of Jesus' joy. Why? Okay. When Jesus was praying this, what was going on? Think about what's happening. He knows what's coming towards him. He knows he's going to suffer. He knows he's going to be crucified. He knows he's going to die. And in that circumstance, he wants his disciples to have the full measure of joy that he experiences. That is something we want. That is an aspect of eternal life that we can enjoy, is joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's something we should be exhibiting. You know, there should never be a crabby Christian. All right? Crabby moments. Yeah, got them sometimes, right? But it's that attitude, that consistent way we live our life, the consistent way we see things, the consistent way that we present ourselves. How you doing? You know, you can have a bummer, my truck's breaking down, blah, 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 right? That is not the Christian way. Now, those things may very well be going down in your life. Yes, absolutely. But even in those things, we seek God and we trust Him. And we say, how you doing, Steve? Well, God, everybody has some problems. Man, I have some real struggle. You know, bills are not getting paid. It's tough. But you know, God is good. And I know He'll take care of me. He always does. And I'm so happy, you know, my children are with me. And you're right. See, that's the difference. And that's what we want to see coming out. It's a fruit, folks. It's a fruit. That means if we're connected to the vine and we're growing, that's what's going to come out of us. And if it's not coming out, we need to get connected. We need to prune. We need to fix things up. But that joy is an aspect of this. Jesus calls us to be set apart. In that eternal life, the eternal perspective, there's this separateness that we are to have, I guess. Now, it says, I've given your word, the world has hated them, for they're not of the world anymore. When we speak of the world here, in this context, you know, I believe what John is talking about here is Not the planet, okay? We're not talking about dirt. Okay, we're talking about systems, structures, governments, cultures. Those are the kind of things. That's the world, the way the world sees things. It's a world of selfishness. It's a world of lack. A world of a zero-sum game in resources. It's a world of power. And influence are what are important. And Jesus says, you are not that world. That is not your world. And so he calls us to be different. The world, in the normal state of things, hates God. And the world hates them. But his prayer, Jesus' prayer, was not to just remove us, right? He says, I'm not taking out of the world, but he asks that we be protected in that world. We are salt and light. Now, through the centuries and even today, you know that how that works out is being different, right? There are some who have taken that call of separateness and have literally just locked themselves away in a room and don't see anybody. You know? And then there's the other side where, you know, maybe they're dipping deep into the world, you know, and to their peril too. There is something here. We want to extricate ourselves. We want to be protected while we're in there. And that's the prayer that Jesus is giving us. And folks, that prayer is going to be answered, right? Again, if Jesus prays that you're protected in this world, do you think you're not going to be protected? Do you think God's going to think about that one from his son? You know, it's like, again, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount says, hey, if your kid asks you for a loaf of bread and you give him a stone, that makes no sense, does it? This is the same thing. And so we don't have to be afraid of this world. We don't have to be afraid of the structures, the powers, the principalities, all these things. We don't have to be afraid of governments. We don't have to be afraid of regulations. We don't have to be afraid of anything. Because Jesus is praying for us. We're set apart. And lastly, in this prayer, it says we are sanctified in truth. Now remember sanctification. Sanctification is that process we are in. By the blood and accepting Jesus, we are justified. That immediate not guilty before God. And we are in the process of sanctification. We are being made more and more like him as we grow, as we shed the things of this world, as we confess our sins, as we grow more in his fruit. And Jesus is praying for that. That in this world, as we are an example, we are being transformed. This is a transformational prayer from Jesus. To be God's people, to know him, and to be an influence in this world. And to begin experiencing eternal life. This is how we experience eternal life now. We experience God's kingdom in effect now in the things we're doing out there. And Jesus is calling us to be courageous and out without fear in this world. So how do we live this eternal life beginning now? One, don't be afraid of death. Hey, folks, you don't have to be afraid of dying. You're not gonna. Well, your body's gonna, but it's gonna be resurrected, even better. See, so that's the only thing. We don't have to be afraid, not ever. And in that eternal perspective of eternal life, live abundantly. Right? There is enough in a short, you know, if we are just here for 75, 85, 95 years, there's only so much resources, there's only so much stuff out there, you know. Yeah, it would make sense to give as much as you can, pass on to your children as much as you can, be worried about what you give to others, be worried about other people coming in that could maybe take your resources, but that is not the kingdom of God. We live abundant lives. We have plenty. You know, I have nothing. I've got more than enough. And that's an attitude. Live abundant lives. We are ambassadors. And so we should act accordingly. An ambassador, and they're representing a country, are very careful not to embarrass their country. And so we are ambassadors. And ambassadors with a mission. We are called to beat this system, to expose this system of the world by God's word. And this eternal life is a commitment to his word, to learning it, to experiencing more and more, to experience that within our community life and be on that road of sanctification with each other. As I read these words, as I think about these things, as we've gone through this Easter season, we look forward then to next week of this, the power of God's Spirit in our lives. It makes you think and ask of us to go deeper with these things. To consider our lives and this affect the thoughts of eternal life. It's something to think about. I know I've talked to people and there is a general rule that, you know, the younger you are, you aren't thinking about eternal things as much, and the older you are, yeah, those things start to pop up a little bit more, all right? But this call is for all of us to understand our place in eternal life. That whether you're 15 or 85, your life is eternal right now. I encourage us as a church then to have that perspective, eternal perspective, eternal life perspective, ambassador perspective, abundant perspective, and share that with the world around us. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you. Lord, Lord Jesus, I'm humble by the thought that you are praying for me, for us. And Lord, we know that that prayer is true. Help us, God, as your people, to live with an eternal perspective, a perspective that shows and understands that we are living eternal life now, that your kingdom, God, is breaking through even now, and we can, in small ways, bit by bit, live out that eternity, beginning now. Thank you, Lord, for your protection, for your help. Help us to grow in you. Sanctify us. Cleanse us. Help us, Lord, as your people. We are grateful. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.